We were just singing, "Speak to me by name, O Master." And let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran unto Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I called not, lie down again.' And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli, said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son, lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli, and he said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" Samuel, Samuel. I've sort of been in the air today traveling and thinking, you know, it would be nice to have my heart spoken to this conference. So I'm looking forward to hearing missionary reports, and I'm looking forward to having my own heart stirred this weekend and warmed. I would love to return to Prince Edward Island and my wife to be able to see a change in me. Peter, the conference did you good. It'd be nice for Peter to hear, "Peter, Peter." You read words like that, not just Samuel, Samuel. I looked them up one point in time. You get words repeated like, "Master, Master, we perish." Or in Matthew 7, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Or, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." There are many examples in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where words, names of places, or people's names are mentioned in rapid succession. But there are seven occasions when the Lord uses this rhetorical device in grammar. The Lord from heaven uses it to speak to one person. We just read, "Samuel, Samuel." So that's one. But I found six other places where the Lord from heaven speaks to a person. And so that should be our prayer tonight, that the Lord would speak to me. Is that your prayer going into this conference? Lord, speak to me by name, O Master. So I looked it up, the rhetorical device in grammar where words are repeated in quick succession. This is really important. This is a big takeaway for this conference weekend. If you can remember this one thing, it's called epizeuxis. Epizeuxis. E-P-I-Z or Z if you're from Al Christofferson's country. E-P-I-Z-E-U-X-I-X-S. Epizeuxis. You got it? I'm not going to get you to say it. But it's epizeuxis. I wonder, has the Lord been trying to get your attention lately? A couple of years ago, I had a little fall. I think I was out here when I was in recovery mode. I see a physician back there, and he was trying to give me some exercises to do. And, you know, I had a lot of time sitting up. I sat up in a chair from January till June the 14th, never got into a horizontal position. And I had a lot of time sitting in a chair. And I asked the Lord, are you trying to get my attention? Now, it's not your business to say, I wonder why Peter fell. That's not your business. But it's my business. Why did Peter go through that? Is it Peter? Peter? And so we should all be burdened about that. Lord, speak to me by name, O Master. And just ask yourself, has he been trying to get my attention in the last little while? Has he been saying, Samuel, Samuel to you? Or Susie, Susie? Has he been speaking? So the first one is in Genesis 22. We won't take time to read all these, but Genesis 22, we're all familiar with that. Abraham, Abraham. Twice his name is mentioned. The context is, Abraham, Abraham, how much do you love me? I know you love Isaac. But now we're standing on this hill, Moriah. Do you love me? Abraham, Abraham. Are you willing to obey me? The test of obedience. Abraham, the angel of the Lord, called to him from heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here am I. Well, have you been hearing that? How much do you love me? Has he been calling your name? Oh, I know you love me, but am I the dearest and the nearest? Do I occupy first place in your life? Abraham, Abraham. There's another one in Genesis chapter 46, verse 2. And Jacob is at a crossroads in life. And he's at Beersheba. He's en route to Egypt. And he's elderly. A lot of water has gone under the bridge. The vicissitudes of life. And he's mourned for quite a few years for Joseph. Thought he was gone. A lot of tears had run down his cheeks. But now he's on his way. It's a big transition. Imagine picking up and moving, like everything. Picking up your roots and moving to Egypt. Probably to die there. How could this be the Lord's will? Is the Lord in this transition in life? This is a big one. And in Genesis 46, verse 2, God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I, or here I am. And he said, I'm the God of your fathers. Do not fear to go down to Egypt. I will make of you a great nation. You know how the story goes. Imagine how sweet that must have been when Jacob, probably all tensed up, filled with anxiety, and God spoke to him that night. Life in upheaval, taking a, you know, at 75, 80, I'm not sure how old he was, I didn't check that out, but he's in advanced years. It's not a career move for him. Like when you're upwardly mobile and you're in your 30s and your 40s, it's all about moving from place to place and climbing a ladder. But to make this big move, Jacob's caravan stops at that historic location, Beersheba. Years earlier, it was here where Abraham got the word to take his son to be a sacrifice. It was also the place where the Lord appeared to Isaac. And now Jacob and his caravan, they've stopped. This is the last of the Lord's seven appearances to Jacob. But weren't they precious words? Words of reassurance to old Jacob. Words of comfort. A new juncture in life? Absolutely. A road you haven't traveled before? No, I've never been down this road before. And he hears, Jacob. Jacob, fear not, I am going to be with you down in Egypt. So maybe there's someone here tonight or will be here tomorrow, and there's a turn in the road of life. You may have lost your spouse. You may be selling your home and moving into a senior's residence. I don't know what it is. You may be a young person, but it is a juncture in life, very definite. Wouldn't it be nice if you heard his voice this weekend? Fear not, I will be with you. Jacob, Jacob. Then in Exodus chapter 3, Horeb, Mount Sinai, there's a man called Moses. And he's down there and it's a holy time with the Lord. And but really it was another day for Moses up until this point. Moses was busy looking after Jethro's sheep. Just another day. But the Lord gets his attention. Says, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I, here I am. And that's when the Lord says, take your sandals off your feet. The place where you stand is holy ground. This is a holy time with the Lord. The day was interrupted. 1 minute looking after the sheep. Have you ever been about your work, the run of a day, and you say, oh, I don't even know whether I can get everything done today that needs to be done. And you're here and you're there and you feel so scattered. And then you have an intervention from the Lord. And he speaks to you. Oh, it's not audible like we're reading about in these cases. Not Moses, Moses. But have you ever pulled your car off the side of the road? Yeah. And just on the side of the road, not for a cell call, phone call, but just to bow your head at the steering wheel and maybe a tear run down your cheek and a little talk with the Lord, a holy spot. Are there landmarks around Winnipeg besides your bedroom or your study where the Lord got your attention? Moses, Moses, God called him from out of the burning bush. It's holy ground. I think this is the first time the word holy is found in our Bibles. And Moses is at 80. Maybe there's I'm not going to ask for a show of hands tonight. Maybe there's an 80-year-old here tonight and you're saying, well, I've had my days of being called directly by the Lord. That's for young people starting out in life. I've sort of reached a plateau, and I'm just coming to the conference this weekend, and I'm hoping they will hear the Lord's voice. What about you at 80? Wouldn't you like to hear the Lord's voice at 80? Moses was 80. Moses. And Moses said, "Here am I." And the Lord says, "Don't draw near to this place. Take your sandals off. This is a memorable experience. This is holy ground. This is serious, Moses. I want to communicate with you." Moses. Has the Lord been trying to get your attention? There can be so much racket in our lives. So much busyness. Legitimate. That maybe he's been calling, and we haven't been responding, hoping to get around to it. But a great weekend this would be if we heard his voice. Whether I'm 20 or 40, 60 or 80. Moses. And where we read tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 3, here's a youth, the other end of the spectrum. Samuel the youth. And God is calling him. And he shares, God shares the news with a young man of imminent judgment on old Eli's wicked sons. Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." I'm listening. I'm all ears, Lord. Speak to me. My heart is open. You're calling. Speak. Master, Lord, speak to me. Samuel. So this rhetorical device, what did we learn that it was called? And you say it? No, don't say it out loud. It's a breach of protocol. But it is epizeuxis. And I can only find 7 examples, as I said, in the Word of God, where it's a messenger from heaven speaking directly to one person on earth. So we're at 1 Samuel 3. Samuel. It seems that since the days of Moses and Joshua, rarely did the Lord speak directly during the 3 centuries when the judges ruled. Spiritually, things were very, very low. But God had his eye on one young man that he was going to mightily use. Maybe there's a young man here or a young sister, and the Lord is going to get your attention this weekend. And he wants to use you in a great way for his service. Like corporations will use you. And they'll get the very best that they can out of you. And they won't give you a raise until you ask for one, probably. And you could give your entire life. And at 65, or if your years of service and length of service and all that adds up to whatever, you might be able to go quicker than 65. And they'll take you out to a Chinese food restaurant or a steakhouse. And they'll give you a little gold watch or a whatever. And then they get on with life. And you have given the best years of your life. You've worked overtime. You've gone in on weekends. You have been so faithful. And that's the way a Christian should be. Faithful to their employer. It's a good testimony. But there's something higher than that. Is my career what God wants me to do? Now, he doesn't want everyone to be an overseer. He doesn't want everyone to be a Sunday school teacher. He doesn't want everyone to be a commended worker. He may have said, Samuel, I want you at this place of business. I want you teaching school to be a light in the school. I don't want you to go to Angola. I don't want you to go to Nicaragua. I want you to be a powerful testimony.
here in Winnipeg, with your employer, with all the employees, and to be a help to the local assembly. And I will use you, Samuel, Samuel. God, it is I and this one young man. I wonder, is there someone that the Lord is in communication with this weekend? Has been for a little while now, talking to you. As you read the Word of God, you go out to work in the morning, and those verses are still sticking with you. The Lord is speaking to you. I want to use you. I want to use you. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel's response was, here I am, speak. I'm listening carefully, Lord. That's in effect what he was saying. Well, you get over to the New Testament. There's a story in Luke chapter 10, verse 41. It's quite different. There's a, we would call him a Christian sister, and she's pulling out all the stops for just royal treatment of a royal guest. She is going to put on the best spread in the kitchen that she can possibly put on. It's a very special guest coming to her home, and she's taking it very seriously. She's going to put everything into her service. And she's out there, and you know those stoves? Like you're attending to the, you're lifting the cover off this dipper and saying, I hope the carrots aren't burning, but over here you've got the broccoli cooking and the asparagus is being broiled in the oven and everything just has to be right. You don't want the vegetables mushy. They have to have a certain crisp to them. And you're filled with anxiety, well-intentioned. And Martha looks into the living room, and there is her sister twiddling her thumbs at the master's feet. And read it. And then look up what the words actually mean, the force, the intensity behind the words. It seems like Martha put her hands on her hips and went in. And in other words, what in the world is going on here? We have got a meal to prepare, and you are sitting at his feet. You've left me with everything. And she was really flustered. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried, troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, Martha. Mary has chosen the good part, Martha. Won't be taken away from her. Martha, Martha. The Lord called Martha in her bitterness. Have you ever been bitter as a Christian? You say, but legitimately so. I know. I felt legitimately bitter. Things do happen in assembly life, in Christian life. And you get twisted into a pretzel and you're fuming. And here's what cheers my heart. When I have days like that or seasons like that, I went through a rough time, told it many times back in my 20s. The Lord, in his amazing grace and kindness, spoke to me in my bitterness. Peter, Peter. And I realized I am more wrong in my attitude and my bitterness than all the other wrongs that have created this in my heart. I am responsible for the condition of my heart. But for me, it was precious. I'll never forget the night getting up off my knees in my study. And I thought, it's exactly what has happened. I'm withered. I've been bitter. And the Lord in his kindness is dealing with me. And the Lord spoke to me. The Lord speaks to Martha. Martha, Martha. The busyness of life displaced the business of the Lord. Martha was well-intentioned. She was trying to do everything she could possibly do to honor her honored guest by serving the best possible meal. But you know what comes before service? Devotion. Sitting at his feet. Martha, Martha, you're going flat out there in the kitchen. But here's what you really need to do. Martha, Martha, I wonder this weekend, is there someone and you're sort of fuming a little bit and going through a drought, struggling with bitterness? It'd be nice if he spoke to you. He won't say, "This is a rhetorical device from heaven. This is called epizeuxis." But wouldn't it be nice if you heard, "Martha, Martha," this weekend? And the next time you read about the Lord Jesus being at that house in Bethany and there was a big feast, Martha wasn't sooking up in her bedroom. She was right there to serve. John records, "And Martha served." She wasn't up there in a room saying, "Huh, I'll let them see. The last time I know what happened. Now he's back in our town again, and I'll just let them see how valuable my service is. I'm going to sit it out until they hear the footsteps and they open her bedroom door and she's sitting up there on her hands." And, well, do it yourselves. If you even get along without me. No. I just think, you know, of all the books that could be written, the world couldn't contain everything that could be written. So obviously, the Spirit of God was selective in what he chose to include in the canon of Scripture. And isn't it nice? Of all the things that could have been excluded, this was included in John. "And Martha served." The Lord spoke to her in her bitterness, and she was restored. Be wonderful if that happened this weekend. Well, Luke 22, there's another one, and it's familiar. "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you." Luke 22, 31, 32, 33, that whole section. Self-sufficiency, self-confidence, danger is lurking, and the Lord says, "Simon, Simon." And sometimes we can get a little proud of our spiritual progress or our ability or some success we've had, some opportunity to witness, and we really did a great job. Years later, Peter wrote to believers, he said, "Humble yourselves," 1 Peter 5, "under the mighty hand of God. Be sober-minded." And he talked about the devil going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he says, "Humble yourselves." Peter, that seemed to be that evening, somewhat confident of his ability to stand his ground. "Simon, Simon," when self-sufficiency and self-confidence seem to be evident, danger is lurking, as it always is. James said, "The Lord gives grace to the humble." There's something about being preserved by humble spirit. The moment pride slips into our heart, we're in dangerous ground. You know, you do this, you speak publicly, and some night, on a rare occasion, you feel the Lord really gave you help. I wish he would give me help more often. But you finish your little message, and you say, you're sitting down, you say, "Wow, that was good tonight." Peter, that's pride. Confess it right now. It's one thing to say the Lord was in the meeting, but as soon as I entertain that thought, that was good tonight. That's pride. Danger is lurking. Simon, Simon.
So Peter writes about humility. James wrote about humility. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The final one is, it'd be awfully wonderful tonight, this weekend, awfully wonderful. If the Lord said, Saul, Saul, that's in Acts chapter 9. Wouldn't it be nice if some sinner heard his voice this weekend? Maybe in the ministry. Maybe mingling with the Christians. Maybe while we're singing, It Is Well With My Soul, and there's someone in the audience, and they hear, Saul, Saul. Doesn't have to be in a gospel meeting. It'd be a wonderful weekend of rejoicing. And the Lord blessed in salvation. Someone heard his voice. So I just want to share those thoughts with you. Epizeuxis. When the Lord speaks to one individual. And if you find an eighth occasion, let me know and I can change my notes.